Welcome to Skills of the Future, a podcast by Perennial Talent. In this mini-series, we explore how to apply skills and competencies to the world of work.
Welcome to our Skills of the Future podcast, and our theme for this series is HR Game Changers, skills and competencies needed to face the new realities of work. My name is Christine Lamotte, president of Perennial Talent, a competency-based talent management solutions company. We reduce bias and add objectivity to clients' talent management practices. Our guest today is Seshan Jain. He is the Senior Director of Global Talent Management at PepsiCo. Seshan is currently responsible for setting and driving the strategic talent agenda around such things as organizational culture, employee engagement, measurement, recognition, and onboarding for PepsiCo globally. Over the last 17 years at PepsiCo, he has accumulated vast experience in employee relations, learning, HR business partnering, organization, and talent development across the world in different PepsiCo offices. And Seshan, I was really impressed. You won the Chairman's Award in 2020 for your work on culture transformation, the PepsiCo way. Congratulations on that. We're so happy to have you on our podcast. How are you doing?
Thank you, Christine. Thanks for calling that out. Yeah, it was one of the proud moments for driving a culture transformation at PepsiCo. Happy to be here and look forward to an engaging conversation.
Yes, me as well. So how are you managing? I know you're in New York City. How are you managing through these challenging times?
I think, Christine, all of us are a set of privileged few who do not have to worry about your paychecks and things like that. So happy to be healthy, happy to be safe. I feel for a lot of people and employees across the organizations who may have lost jobs because their organization is not doing well or some other concern, but like I said, happy to be healthy, happy to have family with me, everyone healthy, and we're managing through these unprecedented times.
We sure are, and you're so right. You're so right. Right now, interesting enough, in Canada, and I know in speaking with other American guests that we've had on our podcast, a lot of women, too, have dropped out of the workplace. Right now in Canada, we have, I think it's over 200,000 women who are unemployed because of COVID. You know, either they've lost their job because of it or they've dropped out of their career to look after children or other, you know, family members. So it's sad, eh? There's a lot of collateral damage, if you want to call it that, as a result of COVID. So how's the world of work changed at PepsiCo? What has the impact been of more employees working remotely? Seshan?
Yeah, no, as been with any other organization, we also underwent this transition at PepsiCo. But I'll answer, Christine, this more broadly, not just PepsiCo, but from what I'm seeing in organizations as I speak to colleagues and other folks in different organizations. So let me say that if you were to think about trends or what is happening because of COVID and remote working, from an organization perspective, there are three trends that are coming out. First, the focus has to go on outcome versus presence. From very beginning of industrial age, a lot of processes in various organizations were focused around presence. If you were present, then you were performing. Mm-hmm. Now that paradigm has been completely broken, and therefore organizations have to move towards more outcome-oriented talent management practices versus presence-oriented talent management practices. And again, different organizations were at different maturity curve on it. It's not that everyone was completely presence-focused. It was a journey and maturity of different organizations, but the paradigm is completely shifted. It's shifted towards more outcome versus presence, which was not there earlier. The second thing I would say, is about this hybrid setup. And therefore, the role of office is something that is getting questioned heavily and getting redefined. Again, offices used to be a place where you went to work earlier. Offices, or when I'm saying offices, it's also places where you went to work, whether it's an office setup or some other kind of a setup where you went to work. Now, in future, as we move towards more, currently we are all hybrid, all virtual, but hopefully in near future we'll get back to office in a certain way. But I still believe it will be hybrid. It will never be back to what we used to have pre-COVID. And therefore, the role of offices would change from a place to work to a place where you go when you have to collaborate, you have to connect, or you have to celebrate. Beyond that, if you have to just do your individual work, mm-hmm. this COVID has told us or taught us that that can be done very efficiently from your home or from a remote location. So that's the second key trend. The role of office would change completely in future. And the third big thing or a challenge that organizations would face in future is where I don't know if all of us have any answers to it, or at least we don't have answers, or I don't have answer to it completely right now. We are still figuring it out. Is how do you drive organization culture in a hybrid setup? That is a big question or a big thing that every organization would be dealing with. Currently, when we speak to each other, either on Zoom or any other platform, when you speak to your team members within the organization or someone external, it's the same. You do not have, reminders of culture or ways of working are changing in a way. And therefore, organizations need to be very, very thoughtful in how do they drive organizational culture in this hybrid setup or virtual setup, as it may be in future. So those are three trends, I would say, from an organizational lens. Mm-hmm. If you then think about employee, what's happening from an employee lens? And I'll again say, call out three big trends that I see happening. Mm-hmm. First, this entire, this reality, new reality has provided us or provided employees high flexibility. And I would say better control on their own work-life balance, right? You can decide when to work and when to take a break within the day. Go play with your kid for half an hour and things like that. So it's provided higher flexibility and better control on work-life balance to employees. With that, yes. It has also...
Sorry, Sashin. Yes, and you're right. I just wanted to emphasize the point or the trend you mentioned before. If we go to a hybrid setting, it gives the employee even more that control, I think, as well. You could decide and plan your work around your life, your personal life as well, because those two lives blend. They have to. That's, we have one life, really. So you're right about that. Sorry, I just wanted to reemphasize that.
You're absolutely right, Christine. Work-life balance, if you think about it, is an old concept. The new thing that people talk about is work-life mm-hmm. continuum, because mm-hmm. it's intermingled, right?
It's not that
you are working at some point in time and you're living at some... You do both together. So
that's right.
It just provides better control in employees' hands.
Yes. Yes. And I think that leads to satisfaction, don't you? A higher level of satisfaction.
Absolutely.
For employees.
Absolutely. Higher level of satisfaction, higher level of engagement in what mm-hmm. they are doing.
Exactly.
But it comes with its downsides, as in this mm-hmm. flexibility and control. So the second trend that I was going to speak about is mm-hmm. this, and this is a challenge that employees are facing. How do they still have social connect, and how do they still build relationships? That's a missing piece that employees have to find an answer to. Organizations would support by providing platforms and stuff, but employees have to find an answer to the missing puzzle around building relationships and social connect. So that's the downside of what employees would be missing or would need to find an answer to.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond this, the third big trend, as you speak to employees across organizations and in different places, a third big trend that we all need to watch out for is what impact would it have on physical, emotional, and mental well-being. That's something which is which was, you know, because of all the privacy laws, was not spoken that much earlier, but mm-hmm. now it has brought it to the center of everything. We need to ensure, and employees need to ensure themselves by being more self-disciplined, but organizations need to provide support in ensuring that physical, emotional, and mental well-being of employees is taken care. So those are three big trends, as I said, from an employee lens. Three from an organization lens and three from employee lens as I see things evolving.
Great points that you've made. And you're absolutely right in discussing these issues with a lot of our guests. A lot of people have addressed parts of what you're saying, but I like how you presented that with friends. So thinking of the talent life cycle right now, hiring, learning, development, career pathing, et cetera, what do you think is the biggest need or greatest changes that you've seen? Maybe you've seen that at PepsiCo, and are there any areas or roles where this is especially salient?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, Christine. And let me try and say it in one big trend, which would impact many, many, many things, or one big need or change that will impact various things. So, and if you were to think about it, what has it done? It has pushed all of us virtual, this pandemic. And therefore, the biggest trend in my mind is digitization. And that by itself would drive in entire life cycle, entire employee life cycle, it will drive democratization and gig workforce. Those are the two things that will come out of this entire digitization that is happening because of everyone being virtual. Whether you talk about hiring, learning, development, or any other touch point for employee life cycle, everything is getting digitized. And therefore, once you are on a platform, it drives democratization. Every manager, every employee can thereafter decide what roles they want, what learning they want. There are talent marketplaces which are coming up. So it will drive democratization, and it will also drive gig workforce because as everything gets digitized, I can then choose where do I spend my time. I can spend my time for first 2 hours in the day on a certain project mm-hmm. and then next 2 hours on a very, very different project, which may not be related to my function, or in future, maybe even on a different organization. So it will drive that. So to me, the biggest change or the biggest underlying thing is digitization, which will in future drive a lot of democratization and also gig workforce.
That's a great, great point. And but if we go back, you know, let's say to remote and we do half of our time in the office, what about issues right now that you're seeing, like for hiring or onboarding? Any specific issues that you've had to face at PepsiCo because of this, you know, because we're working remotely, and what kind of issues has that brought up for you?
Yeah, no, this was a big change, right? And mm-hmm. this was very, very sudden change that happened overnight almost for most of us. Yeah. And when I say big change, you still, so for instance, let's talk about hiring. In hiring, even though you had virtual meetings, virtual candidate interviews, but typically the final interview or the final conversation, at least for senior roles, you'll have on site, where the and it's a two-way process. The hiring manager would want to meet the person and understand a person at a deeper level, while the candidate would also want to come to office and get a feel of the culture and the place before finally you know, getting into a contract. And therefore that changed. After that, once a new person is hired, how do you impart, or how do you make sure the person gets onboarded onto organizational culture?
Yes.
You get the person into the office, the person, you know, meets and greets and figures out various things within the office, and therefore gets ingrained into any culture. Now, all that had to move virtual overnight. There were no physical sessions. There were no physical meetings. There were no onboarding sessions, which, you know, typically every organization run, say, you know, once a month or with any cadence that they may have. Those sessions were not there. So everything had to move virtual overnight. You know, and this is difficult, very difficult for new joinees, or, and that's where we are talking about new hiring, new joinees or interns, because they don't know anyone in the organization. They are new to the organization. For people like all of us who had existing relationships, who understood the culture, the transition was slightly easier because you already knew each other and you could call upon on that. But, you know, hiring is a special or was the specific area where there were many, many more challenges on how to make sure the person gets onboarded onto the culture of the organization and also starts developing sense of belonging. So that's what I'll call out as a...
So do you think that it's impacted the quality of the hires organizations have made because of this shift to digitization, you know, not seeing someone or meeting them?
Christine, I would not say it has impacted quality of hire. I mm-hmm. don't think quality of hire has got impacted, but I would say the onboarding process you know, my earlier piece on culture, how would it shape the culture in future is a question mark. As more and more new people come into the organization, as time passes, would it change the organizational culture is a question mark in my head. But I would say that it impacted the onboarding process. So if you were taking X number of days for onboarding earlier in virtual setup or in, you know, during the pandemic, it would be X plus Y because it will take longer for an individual to get onboarded. So quality of hire, I don't believe it got impacted, but the onboarding process and therefore ability of the new hire to deliver, that got impacted or that created some delay. Yeah.
So what skills or competencies do you feel are most important right now for organization? And what challenges do organizations face, you know, when it comes to developing the right skills and competencies required?
Again, great question, Christine. And this is based on what I have seen and what I have based on my conversations with many, many folks within the organization and outside. I think there are two or three key things that are essential going forward. And not that these are new things. I think they were always there. But given the context, given the unprecedented nature of crisis we all faced, these are things which needs to be dialed up further. First one is business orientation. No longer can we live in our own silos. No longer can we all function in our own silos. There has to be very, very strong business orientation in figuring out what is the final objective of the organization, and therefore, what are we doing? Is it supporting that or not? So understanding the business of the organization and therefore delivering to that is one big thing that has come to fore. The second thing, which, you know, is around, and I'm sure you have heard about agility and everyone has to be more agile. But I would say, you know, in that effort of being agile, everyone has to focus on simplification, standardization, and automation. Without that, you cannot achieve the level of agility that you want. So we have to simplify everything with the focus on business outcome. We have to standardize and we have to automate. No longer can we live with a place where, you know, things are manual in nature or things are individual dependent. So that's the second thing, which goes, or once you do that, then you become more agile as an organization. So that's the second big thing.
Yes. And I would think for huge companies like yours, that becomes even more critical, don't you think? I mean, in how many countries are you in right now?
Oh, absolutely. We are present in more than 200 countries. But I would dare say this is important, not just for organizations of our size. It's essential for everyone who wants to be in business at this point in time. Whether a large organization or a small organization, everyone has to invest in simplification and automation. Maybe standardization is a challenge only for big organizations, but simplification and automation are essential for even, I would say, startups to succeed in current environment.
Interesting. Yes.
And the third big thing that I'll call out, Christine, in terms of skill set would be empathy and trust. Is something that needs to be dialed up to ensure that we engage diverse set of employees. So empathy and trust as a soft skill has to be dialed up back again with everyone, leaders, employees. Everyone has to be more empathetic. Everyone has to be more trustworthy. Gone are days when, you know, if you're working remote, sometimes you would not get the right appreciation because people thought that you're not working, right? So you have to trust and be empathetic to situations that employees may be facing or different functions may be facing. Since you cannot see them face to face, you are less aware and you have to dial up your effort towards understanding what shoe they are wearing and be empathetic to them.
Yes, and I think that, you know, that's an excellent point, Shane, because I think that humanizes managers and leaders as well. You know, if you can show empathy and understanding when your three-year-old is running, you know, behind you in a Zoom meeting or, you know, showing flexibility for people who have young kids at home or other people to care for, I think that's good for leaders. I don't know what you think about that, but I think that many leaders have had to demonstrate that to engage their employees. you know, during these challenging times.
No, absolutely. I think in that way, Zoom or this virtual setup humanized everyone, right? Mm-hmm. No longer the CEO was only, you know, coming up. Obviously, you know, you had moments when you saw families of your colleagues, or you had moments when you created that kind of a platform where families could interact, or you had, you know, like we had once a magic mm-hmm. show for kids of our colleagues and things. So, yeah, this virtual setup has provided equality in a way. There was no one sitting on the head of the table, right? There was no table anymore.
That's right. So yeah.
Everyone was there. Also, because of the virtual nature, you could invite many more people to a meeting. Earlier there was a constraint of the meeting room. How many people can the meeting room hold?
That's a good now point. You're right.
So in a way, it's been a great equalizer. Everyone was on the same screen. No one was on the head of the table, and everyone had the same voice. So that way, it's been a great equalizer and also a way to provide that human touch. But I still believe you're still watching the top half of the employee. You don't know the reality. These days you have Zoom backgrounds, so you don't know what's behind that. So you still need to dial up your empathy to really engage with your employees better.
Absolutely. So what are the challenges then, you know, as an organization when it comes to developing these skills or these competencies?
Yeah, no, look, and this is probably me or how I think about it. I believe to develop any skill set or any competency, the way to do it is 70-20-10. And 70% of it is by experiences or by exposing people to a situation where they have the safety net, but they do it and they learn to swim by getting into the swimming pool. Mm-hmm. So the biggest challenge would be to create experiences. How do you create experiences? When we were going to office or physical conferences or physical sessions were a reality, mm-hmm. you could have those engaging conversations. You could have those sessions where you were role modeling and various case studies and exercises, which is now possible virtually, but difficult because you again have to engage people differently. So that's one, which is in my mm-hmm. mind, how do you create similar experiences? How do you expose people to different things is a challenge. The second big thing is everyone has these meetings back to back, Zoom back to back.
Yeah.
And virtually there is no break that anyone is getting, right? Earlier, even if you had back-to-back meetings from one conference room to another, you could take a break. You were walking from one place to another, so mm-hmm. you had that moment of break. Now that's not available. So everyone's what is it impacting is everyone's attention span. People are present on the Zoom, but they may not be mentally there. So
yep.
In terms of learning, it has to go micro, and it has to be provided at the time it's needed. No one would have patience to learn something that I need 6 months down the line. I would learn it when I need it. And at that moment, it should be available in a micro format so that I can get it in 5 minutes and move on and do my job. So those are challenges. Mm-hmm. How do you create experiences and how do you mm-hmm. get learning to be micro learning and mm-hmm. available at when you need it.
Yeah, on-demand learning and easy access exactly to what you're saying. And I'm hearing that too as a trend. It has to be readily available. And nobody's got, as you said, 5 hours to sit in the, you know, in front of a screen to do that. So the micro learning, you're right. So what are the future threats or pain point if organizations don't take the time to clearly define the skills needed for success? What could go wrong if these threats or pain points are not addressed?
Oh, that's a simple one, Christine. If you don't do this, I believe as organizations, we'll cease to exist. So obviously, it will start from low engagement or morale, reduced productivity, high attrition. Those are leading indicators. But organizations would not be successful if they don't, focus on these new areas of skill and mindset. So that's what I believe. This is not good to do. This is essential to do for success. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's interesting because I'm very involved. We do a lot of work in the IT cyber field and defining and other industries. But lately, we've had a lot of demands to do work in that area. And what was surprising to me is that a lot of organizations haven't taken the time to define what are the critical skills for a job. You know, and especially now, if this is changing where we're putting more emphasis on that. So coming up with clearly articulated behaviors required for successful performance in a time like this is becoming, I think, more and more important. And I'm seeing more companies who might have had competency profiles in place redefining those because, you know, it's maybe just one or two, or like you said, three key areas, you know, where that is important. So I'm seeing a shift there as well in terms of critical competencies that are being articulated and defined. And then people are using those for hiring and or, you know, learning and development, as you were saying. So, So what actions do you think companies can take? I mean, yes, they can define their competencies. Any other thoughts on that to mitigate these threats, what they could do?
Yeah, no, you are right, Christine. The first step definitely is defining that. But this process of defining cannot be HR-centric. It cannot be
you're right.
Done by few people in a room or in a virtual setup.
Yeah.
It has to engage business stakeholders. It has to engage wide range of stakeholders.
Absolutely.
To define it.
You're right.
And that need may be different from different organizations. I spoke about very high level leadership sort of needs. They would be functional needs for every function and functional competencies and other things, which needs to be defined. And if there is a definition already existing, needs to be reviewed to see if there is something changing or there is something that needs to be tweaked or changed. The second thing I would say is prioritization. You have to prioritize two or three. You may have a set of five things you want to do, but you'll have to prioritize one or two to start with, given the fact that there is too many other things going around, right? So you have to prioritize, you have to be ruthless on that and say what is critical today and what can wait.
Yes, and speaking of that, I'm sorry, diversity in the workplace is, I'm seeing that as a huge trend. We have it in Canada, but in the States as well. So how do you ensure that, you know, to remove like biases from, you know, maybe a hiring process that might be there, or people are looking to make sure that they can do what they can. Like I know one of the trends that we're seeing with some of the service is audits that we've been doing in selection process to try to remove or reduce. You can't always eliminate biases 100%, but you can, you know, minimize those to decrease that error rate and increase, you know, the opportunity to hire a more diverse worker.
Oh, absolutely. Diversity is essential from two aspects, I think. One, for societal commitment of any organization, mm-hmm. you know, that's being a good corporate citizen, you have to ensure there is equity and you have to contribute to that. Mm-hmm. But more so as an organization, it's important because that's the business lever for innovation. If yes. you have diverse workforce, you would be, you know, more innovative as an organization. So mm-hmm. diversity is a given. It's always been a given, but there mm-hmm. is a heightened focus on it because of, you know, recent societal mm-hmm. challenges that we all saw, mm-hmm. and therefore heightened focus and re-energized in that way.
Yes.
And you're right, biases, again, for an organization like ours, we do those audits and we do those checks yeah. constantly, and we have been doing it for, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know, for the last 10 years or more than that. Mm-hmm. But if any organization is not doing it, it's essential because there are unconscious bias. It's not that any leader or anyone wants to be biased against a certain cohort. But these are unconscious biases which creep into your system. It creeps yes. into your processes, and therefore an audit mm-hmm. at a certain cadence, at a certain frequency is absolutely essential. Mm-hmm. We do it always to ensure we catch on anything that is, displaying any kind of a bias and then take mm-hmm. corrective action. So you are absolutely right. Those are things which are... just hygiene things, in my belief, which have to be done, like cleaning, right? And like cleaning in COVID times, it's heightened. You need to clean little, maybe frequency has to increase. Similarly, audit and buy, you know, check on biases has to increase in these times.
Well, I wanted to thank you, Seijin, for being our guest today and for your great insights into the new realities of work. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Christine, for having me. It was a pleasure talking. And stay safe. I'm hoping there will be times when we can meet physically.
Yes, wouldn't that be great? And that time, I'm sure, will come. So thank you so much. Have a great day.